This is the Rod Langway Fan Club.
Welcome, everybody, to the Rod Langway Fan Club podcast. I am your host, Jeff Roman. This is our special 2024 NHL playoff preview. I'm joined by a couple of co-hosts who always bring their A-game at this time of year, Mr. Mark Chechnita.
Yeah, I was day-to-day down the stretch of the regular season, you know, just nursing some bumps and bruises, but I'm ready to roll, boys.
And John Snowden.
Yeah, I didn't think I was going to be here. I had one foot in the golf cart, but here I am. So let's get this going.
And as always, we are coming at you from Taipei, Taiwan, the birthplace of the great Rod Langway.
Secretary of Defense, in Rod we trust.
Well, guys, this is the playoffs. There are 16 teams vying for Lord Stanley's mug, and we're going to break down all 8 first-round matchups. I'm really excited to get this going.
Yeah, and of course, as always, we have asked the commish. This is your chance to get your questions into the mailbag. So send us a tweet at Rod Langway Fan Club or an email at rodlangwayfanclub@gmail.com.
And we've concluded what was a very exciting regular season.
Yes, and I love that the trend for higher scoring continued this season. We saw the fourth and fifth players in NHL history to get 100 assists in a season. Of course, scoring champion Nikita Kucherov, 144 points, got over 100, and Connor McDavid, to no one's surprise, also eclipsed the 100 mark, but didn't get the scoring title this year because of injuries late.
Yeah, Nathan MacKinnon had an excellent regular season. He finished with 140 points. Unfortunately for Auston Matthews, his pursuit of 70 goals fell just short as he ended with 69.
Yes, the dirty digits for Auston Matthews. Spectacular season nonetheless, and some great last-minute dramatics leading into the playoffs. The Washington Capitals sneak in the East, but some entertaining hockey down the stretch.
Sure was, and they beat out the Detroit Red Wings, who were oh so close, and the Pittsburgh Penguins, who looked like they had some life.
Yeah, gotta give props to Sidney Crosby, nearly dragged his team into a playoff spot. Let's also give some respect to the New York Islanders. We'd pretty much written them off in the last show. They go 8-1-1 down the stretch, and they lock down the third spot in their division.
Yeah, Patrick Waugh really had these guys cooking. Can't wait to see what they can offer.
All right, guys, let's kick things off in the Eastern Conference. We'll begin with the New York Rangers, who won the President's Trophy versus the Washington Capitals.
Yes, the curse of the President's Trophy looms large, but this is your classic David versus Goliath matchup. I think the Rangers are better in every single aspect, whether it be goaltending, defense, forwards, coaching. Maybe that's close, but I don't know. I just don't see a way for Washington. What do you guys think?
Yeah, Carberry did an amazing job to get this team into the playoffs. The Rangers are, of course, led by Artemi Panarin, who had 120 points.
Yeah, they were very, very healthy this year, so they had a lot of good luck on their side. Shesterkin, you know, not the best start to the season, but if he can really round into playoff form, watch out.
Yeah, he is trending in the right direction. He was much better in the second half, and you'd rather see your goalie hot late than early, so I think he'll be fine in the playoffs.
And what about the youngsters for the New York Rangers?
Well, bit of a mixed bag there. You think about that youngster line that they've had in the playoffs the last 3 years. Well, Philip Hedel is injured. Maybe he comes back at some point after being written off. He is skating again. But the happy news is finally, first overall pick, Alexei Lafreniere has arrived. He scored 28 goals this season. I'm really eager to see what he can do in the playoffs when things get rough and tumble. He's a big body who can mix it up. Third member of that line, another big body, former second overall pick, Kaapo Kakko. Only 19 points this season. They need more from him in the playoffs.
And a big special teams advantage for the New York Rangers. They were third in penalty kill and third on the power play. Special teams also important at this time of year, so watch out for that.
And I'm curious if we'll see young Matt Rampe in the lineup.
Yeah, I think he'll probably get some minutes on the fourth line. He doesn't play a lot of minutes, but if things get rough and tumble, maybe he sends a message to Tom Wilson, although I'm not sure that fight would go very well for him. Could fire up the boys.
Well, let's talk about the Washington Capitals. What do these guys bring to the table?
Well, I mean, obviously Ovechkin put the team on his back, but let's not overlook Charlie Lindgren. He was excellent down the stretch. I think if they stand any chance at all in this series, he's going to have to play out of his mind.
And Alexander finishes with 31 goals.
Yes, so he is now creeping up on that all-time goal-scoring record, but he wants to add some playoff goals to his stats.
Yeah, he's only 41 goals away.
He doesn't have Nick Backstrom passing the puck anymore. This year's scoring leader for the Caps, Dylan Strome, reclamation project, who's looked pretty good in a first-line role for the Caps this year.
Caps will be relying a lot on John Carlson. He was healthy this year. He played in all 82 games, picked up 52 points, and he's massive on the power play.
Yes, and that power play, although it had a really bad start to the season, it started to heat up late, and they're going to have to at least try to match forces with the Rangers on the special teams. That's going to be a big part of their success or failure.
All right, guys, let's get our picks in there. Mark, who are you going with?
Going for a gentleman's sweep for the Rangers. They take it in five.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with you. Rangers in five, they're going to be too much.
I'm not giving the Capitals much of a chance here. I'm going to go with the Rangers in a sweep.
Okay, let's stay in the Metro. Let's take a look at the other series between the Carolina Hurricanes and the New York Islanders.
Yes, we do have to be honest with you, loyal listeners. The game just took place, game one of that series. We just watched it. So we're a little late to this one, but we still have some thoughts on it.
Yeah, the Carolina Hurricanes, that was a huge trade acquisition they got in Jake Guentzel.
Yeah, he finished with 25 points in his last 17 games as a Cane, and we know what he can do in the playoffs, so this is the perfect add, I think.
Absolutely, and as Evgeny Kuznetsov with a big goal in game one, we've already seen the bird dance, so that's exciting times as well. I really love the coaching matchup in this one, though. Patrick Waugh, Rod Brind'Amour, some fiery personalities. It's going to be quite the battle.
Yeah, these are guys who are both proven winners, both guys that can fire up the troops, so I think this is going to be a pretty gritty, hard-fought series.
The special teams battle in this series is going to be really interesting. The Hurricanes finished with the second best PP. They were first in the penalty kill. And the Islanders, well, not so much.
Not so good. This is really surprising to me because when I think of the Islanders, I think of lockdown defense. But they had the worst penalty kill in the league. Not among playoff teams, in the league.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting goaltending battle as well. The New York Islanders in Game 1 go with Semyon Varlamov. Of course, they have Ilya Sorokin back there, so that's going to be a fun battle.
And the Carolina Hurricanes, they've had a bit of a goalie carousel this season.
Yeah.
And Freddie Anderson is back and healthy, and he looks locked in.
Yeah, it is probably comforting knowing that they have Pyotr Kachenkov in the wings if they do need him. Freddie, of course, with his injury history. And I think we've seen that a lot of Stanley Cup teams now, they need to go two, maybe three goalies deep to make a run.
And, of course, the Hurricanes are led by Sebastian Aho, who had an excellent season with 89 points in 78 games.
Yes, but Jeff, you forget that the New York Islanders have their very own Sebastian Aho. He was not deployed in Game 1. He's a secret weapon. You throw him in, you cancel out the Ahos, we got a brand new ballgame, folks.
Sure. I mean, it might give a guy like Andrei Svechnikov a chance to show his playoff game. He had a bit of an up and down year. They're going to be relying on him. Hopefully he doesn't get in a fight, though.
Yeah, big year for Seth Jarvis, who finished the season with 33 goals. But what do you guys think of the Islanders' offense?
Not the most confidence-inspiring group up front. They are led by Matthew Barzal, point per game, pretty impressive. Bo Horvat, here's a guy that they brought in hoping he could be a 40-40 guy like he was in Vancouver. He's kind of regressed to what he's been for most of his career. A decent secondary scorer, but I don't know. Brock Nelson was their best goal scorer, but again, not a guy that inspires terror in your opponent.
Yeah, I mean, Noah Dobson offers a fair bit of offense from the back end, probably more so than anybody in the series, but is that going to be enough for them?
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that Noah Dobson's probably the best defenseman in this series, but if you look at the Carolina blue line, they've got a bunch of guys that can play top 4 minutes, shutdown minutes.
Yeah, big fan of Brent Burns, who showed that he's still got something in the tank, too.
And let's not forget former Rod Langway winner, Jacob Slavin. All arms out there. You can't get past that guy. One of the best in the business.
Okay, guys, so who are you picking?
You know, I think there'll be a lot of very close, hard-fought games, but I think that Carolina goes with a sweep here.
Yeah, okay. Well, I think that this is not going to be the most entertaining series. I could see there being some slow games, some hard-fought games. I'm going to pick the Canes in five in a bit of a snoozer.
All right. And these two teams met last season. The Hurricanes came away in six games, and I'm going to say it's going to be a repeat. Hurricanes in six.
All right. Let's slide over to the Sunshine State Showdown. It's the Florida Panthers. It's the Tampa Bay Lightning. And this is going to be a great series, I think. So much talent on both sides.
Yes, lots of offensive pop in this one. The Florida Panthers, led surprisingly by Sam Reinhart this year. He popped off 57 goals. What a season for him. Of course, Matthew Tkachuk. A little bit of a regression from last year, but still 88 points is a great year. Some great two-way play as well from Alexander Barkov. So lots to worry about for T-Bay.
Yeah, well, I don't think T-Bay is too worried because they've got their own studs. They've got Braden Point, who is a proven playoff performer. We've already talked about Nikita Kucherov, the league's leading scorer, 144 points. He looks like the best player in the world right now. And of course, let's not forget the elder statesman, Steven Stamkos. He popped 40 once again, and he is such a threat on their power play.
Very intriguing goaltending battle. Jeff, you want to break it down for us here?
Yeah, I'm super excited about this battle. The Florida Panthers have Sergei Bobrovsky, who had an excellent regular season, finished with a 2.37 GAA and a 9.15 save percentage. But he's up against Andrei Vasilevsky. Now, Vasilevsky was hurt to start the season. Tampa Bay started off really slow this year, but they picked it up when it mattered the most. Now, Vasilevsky's improved a lot, but he just still doesn't seem like the same guy he was last year.
Yeah, I think that the playoffs are going to bring out the best in him, as they often do, and I would not want to be facing a hot Vasilevsky in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, we know he can bring it, especially in those game sevens if it comes down to that. And he's a little more rested than he's been in years past, so watch out.
Yeah, that's true for the entire Tampa Bay Lightning roster. This is going to make them a really dangerous foe.
Interesting to look at how this team stacks up on the back end with the defensemen. Of course, Victor Hedman is the star of this show. What an amazing season for him. Unfortunately, they are missing Mikhail Sergachev. He's been hurt for a while. May not make it into this series if T-Bay can go late. Maybe he can sneak in, maybe for round two, but that's a big blow for them.
Yeah, there are no Victor Hedmans on the Florida Panther blue line, but they do have some pretty good talent back there. Now, remember, they started the season without Montour and Ekblad, who are both hurt, and Gustav Forsling was playing excellent for them, so watch out for him in this series. The aforementioned two injured guys have come back. Ekblad got banged up again. Looks like he will be ready to start the playoffs, and Montour was a little slow out of the gates after being injured, but was a little better in the second half. Watch out for him. He's a great puck mover.
Okay, guys, let's get our picks in. Mark, who are you going with?
You know what? I like Tampa Bay. They're fresh, they're rested, and they're hungry. So I think they're going to take it. It's going to go seven. Watch out for X-Factor Nick Paul. He always raises his level in the playoffs.
And John?
Ooh, this is a tough one. This is one of the toughest ones for me to call. I really love the coaching matchup here. Paul Maurice, John Cooper, head-to-head. I'm going to have to give a slight edge to Cooper and the Lightning. I'm going to say Lightning in seven as well, Mark.
Yeah, John Cooper did an excellent job this season. Tampa Bay led the league in power play and had the fifth best penalty kill. These two teams have met twice recently, and Tampa Bay came away with the win both times. But this time, I'm going to say the Florida Panthers knock them off in six games.
Okay, so for our last series here in the East, we have the Boston Bruins versus the Toronto Maple Leafs. Now, game one just took place. We just finished watching it here in the Rod Langway Fan Club studios. Lots to talk about for this series. What do you think?
Well, the biggest story has to be the absence of William Nylander in game one. The Leafs really could have used his scoring touch. Late in the game, trying to gain the zone on the power play, they couldn't get in, and that's where you need Nylander to skate the puck up the ice. This is a huge loss.
Who doesn't love an original six matchup between the Maple Leafs and the Bruins? And these two teams have some history.
They sure do. Remember 2013?
I do.
2018?
Yes.
How about 2019?
Yeah. This is different, guys. This is 2024. It's going to be different.
Different year. We'll see about the result.
Yes, one of the big storylines going into this series is the matchup at center. Of course, the Boston Bruins, they lose David Krejci. They lose Patrice Bergeron. Charlie Coyle and Pavel Zacha, they filled in somewhat admirably, 60 points and 59 points. So not too bad, but it does not compete with the firepower that the Toronto Maple Leafs have at the center position. Of course, led by Austin Matthews, John Tavares. I mean, they're very dangerous there.
Yeah, no doubt that the Leafs have the edge down the middle, but if you look at the wingers, I think that's where we have to give the edge to the Bruins, led, of course, by David Pastrnak. A little bit of a down year by his lofty standards with 47 goals, but that's still pretty awesome, 110 points. Jake DeBrusque was kind of the hero in game one, potting a couple goals. He's been pretty solid down the stretch. And of course, the pest, the captain, Brad Marchand. You always got to watch out for him in the playoffs.
Yes, it'll be fun to see how he matches up with Tyler Bertuzzi and Max Domi. They got some grit and sandpaper, and they can stir the pot a little bit as well.
They've also got some soft touches on their forward core. Mitch Marner, a guy who has never delivered in the playoffs. Honestly, guys, I don't think this is going to be his year either. Didn't like what I saw to him in game one.
And a big goalie matchup. You'd have to give the advantage to the Boston Bruins, as they have Jeremy Swayman and Allmark back there. Samsonov got the first look in game one, didn't play great.
No, I would not be surprised if we saw Joseph Woll. Hey, maybe even Martin Jones. Or, wait for it, Matt Murray is skating again. There's a fourth option, Jeff. You guys got lots of choices, lots of choices.
Wow, do the Maple Leafs ever need Samsonov to find his game? He's had a real up and down season. He went to the minors briefly. When he came back, he was amazing, but he faltered a little bit near the end. I'm concerned.
Yeah, and it doesn't instill any confidence that their blue line is maybe not as competitive as Boston's is. Morgan Riley, of course, leading the charge. But in terms of defensive defensemen, I don't really think they have a lot in the tank.
Yeah, you know, I was really surprised they didn't address that at the deadline. Stark contrast, the Bruins are deep on D, of course, led by this year's Rod Langway Award winner, Charlie McAvoy. But don't sleep on guys like Matt Grizzlick, Brandon Carlo. They're solid on the back end.
Okay, guys, let's get our predictions in. John, who are you going with?
Well, it's tough for me to say this, but I did pick the Toronto Maple Leafs to win the Stanley Cup. I'm going to stick with the Leafs. I'm going to stick with Canada. I'm going to have to say Leafs in seven. They slay the dragon.
Yeah, John, wishful thinking on your part. No Nylander. No chance. This one's over quick. Bruins in five.
And guys, it pains me to say this, but I'm going to take the Boston Bruins in seven. Of course, it has to be seven.
Okay, let's be merciful. Let's give Jeff some time to wipe those tears out of his eyes. We'll take a little break. We'll be right back with the Western Conference preview.
And John, you got a tune lined up?
Yeah, I got nothing.
You got nothing?
Nothing.
All right, let's hear nothing. That was the Ugly Ducklings with the 1966 track, Nothing, from Toronto, Ontario.
Well, boys, it's time to talk Western Conference playoffs. And wow, the number one versus number eight matchup this year is an absolute doozy as we have the Dallas Stars taking on the defending Stanley Cup champion, Vegas Golden Knights.
Yes, unlike the Eastern Conference, this isn't so much of a David versus Goliath. This is going to be a cracker of a series.
And let's start by talking about the depth of the Dallas Stars.
Yeah, they had 720 goal scorers. It's really hard to shut this team down because they spread out the offense nicely. For me, the most exciting player down the stretch was Wyatt Johnson as he cracked the 30 goal mark for the first of probably many times.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what Jason Robertson can offer here in the
yes,
playoffs.
I'm
slightly
curious.
Down year for him, but he does have another gear, we know. So if we see that in the playoffs, watch out for this offense.
I love Joe Pavelski. You know he's going to be coming up big in the playoffs.
Yeah, one of the best net front guys in the league and always so clutch. They really do have a nice mix of veterans and young forwards, though. I mean, Logan Stankoven came in and he made an immediate impact, but they've also got trusted veterans, guys like Tyler Seguin, Jamie Benn, and I really like the addition of Matt Duchene this offseason. He fit in great.
Yeah, I agree. This is going to be a tough offense to shut down. So important to have balanced scoring in the playoffs, and Dallas certainly has that.
And they have a pretty fantastic decor as well.
Yes, the depth continues all the way down the lineup. I love the addition of Christopher Tanev. He's such a playoff warrior. You know you're going to get everything from him in the playoffs.
For sure. And Miro Heiskanen, 54 points. Great offensive year, but he also offers a lot defensively too.
And young Thomas Harley back there picked up 15 goals this year.
Yeah, this is a guy who, you know, first round pick, highly touted, and he is really rounding into form nicely. Let's not forget Esa Lindell, another really nice shutdown defender they have as well.
Yeah, but let's look at Vegas. I mean, their depth got a big boost with some returning people and some trade acquisitions. What do we think about this team?
Well, the big story is Mark Stone is back.
Yeah, no one doubted it. Everyone's been complaining about it for the last few weeks, but he is ready to go, and he is the leader for them. Of course, they also have Jack Eichel, another point per game season. He was such a force for them in the playoffs last season.
Let's not forget a couple original members of the Vegas Golden Knights. Jonathan Marchessault with a great year, 42 goals, and Wild Bill Carlson, great year with 30 goals as well.
As if that wasn't enough, they've added to their embarrassment of riches at the deadline, snaking Thomas Hurdle from the Sharks. He looked really good, especially winning lots of draws for them. That'll be huge in the playoffs. And Anthony Mantha didn't really fit in super well, but this is a guy who's got great hands. I could see him being an X factor for the Knights in the playoffs.
And what about the defense of the Las Vegas Golden Knights?
I mean, pretty good adding Noah Hanifin there, but of course, led by Shea Theodore, he's had a great year. And Alex Petrangelo brings his A game in the playoffs. He's back from an injury, so they're looking pretty healthy back there.
Yeah, they have such a big bruising decor. They were so effective last season. It's going to be really interesting to see that matchup going up against all of those dynamic Dallas forwards.
And let's talk about the battle in net. The Dallas Stars have Jake Oettinger, who had a bit of a rough start to the season, but he came on down the stretch.
No, I watched a lot of Jake Oettinger down the stretch. He looks like he's in elite form, and this is going to be the big advantage, I think.
And John, who do you think the Golden Knights are going to start in net?
Well, it's a good question. Of course, they have Logan Thompson. He played a little bit better down the stretch. But Aiden Hill, Stanley Cup winner last year. I think they're probably going to go with Hill out of the gate. But if he falters, look to see Logan Thompson play some games here.
Yeah, Hill does not look right. He's been injured a few times. I think we see Thompson very early in this series.
Okay, guys, let's get our picks in.
This is tough, you know, picking against the Stanley Cup champions in round one. But I think I have to do it. Dallas was better down the stretch. I love Dallas's depth. Stars in six.
And John?
Yeah, I have some questions about Vegas. I mean, they're all coming back at the same time. They haven't really had enough time to coalesce into that playoff form that they got to last year. And Dallas is such a tough task out of the gate. I'm going to pick Dallas in five.
Okay, this is such a tough matchup to call. But I am going to choose the Dallas Stars. I just love the look of this team in six games.
Now, our next series is a struggle, a battle between two juggernauts from the Central Division. John, your Winnipeg Jets are going to be taking on the Colorado Avalanche.
Yes, I am nervous about this one. But, you know, I'm feeling pretty good about Winnipeg. Lots to break down here. Where do we want to start?
Well, I would say one of the big advantages in this series is for the Jets in net. Connor Hellebuck was great this year. He had a 2.39 GAA and a 921 save percentage, where there's a lot of questions for the Avalanche in goal.
No, Alexander Georgiev did not look right for most of the season. And for some strange reason, they did not go out and get a steady backup goaltender for the playoffs. I could really see that coming back to bite them. I'm not sure if you can trust Anunin to come in and do the job. I think this is going to be a big obstacle for a very talented team to overcome.
Yeah, I would agree. Clear advantage in net for Winnipeg. But when it comes to star power, I don't think anyone can top the Avs. I mean, Nathan MacKinnon is such a beast. When he's determined to score a goal, watch out. Mikko Rantanen not too far behind MacKinnon. 100 points for him as well. And Cale Makar on the blue line. I mean, just those three players alone. Probably better than anybody on Winnipeg's roster.
Yeah, another stud they have is Valeri Nichushkin. That guy's an absolute beast. When he's locked in, he's looked good down the stretch. But they did suffer a loss. Jonathan Drouin, unfortunately, after having a nice bounce back season, will miss the first round. So that's a big loss. Another former Hab, though, watch out for Arturi Lehkonen. He's always got a clutch goal in him.
And John, what about the Jets' offense?
Well, the Jets have a very balanced offense. Of course, it's led by Mark Scheifele and Kyle Connor. Connor was a bit banged up, but when he came back, he was playing excellent. But they do have a lot of depth scoring as well, which I think will help them in this series.
Yeah, more former Habs I got to talk about, guys. I think the addition of Sean Monahan and Tyler Toffoli.
Yeah.
Wow, I think those are the perfect guys to add to that lineup. Really rounds out their offense nicely.
Yeah, and Monahan really helped that power play out.
For sure. They were really struggling early in the season, but once he came on, a big uptick in their power play production.
Yeah, a great glue piece in the bumper position. Yeah.
And a nice first season for Gabe Vilardi in Winnipeg.
Absolutely. He's banged up here and there, but when he was playing, he was a really important contributor to the team.
And how do these two teams stack up against each other on D?
Yeah, this is a thing that we kind of went back and forth about, and I think the conclusion that we settled upon was that Colorado probably has the more dynamic offense of defensemen. But if it comes down just to shut down defensemen, I think Winnipeg has the edge, a little bit more sandpaper back there as well. They were the stingiest team in the NHL after all.
Yeah, for sure. Nice cushion for Connor Hellebuck with their defensive structure. It's going to play an important part in this series.
I just love Josh Morrissey's two-way play. He's going to be huge in this series.
Yeah, it's amazing. The last two seasons now, he showed last year was not a fluke, coming through with another great season. So he's the anchor back there for the Jets.
Okay, fellas, let's get our picks in there.
Oh, this is so tough. I've gone back and forth on this one. I'm going to go with the star power winning out in the end. MacKinnon, Rantanen, Makar. There'll be a little bit too much for the Jets, but it'll be a 7-game series.
And I'm sorry to say this, John. I think the Avs are going to win this one in six.
Well, you know, I haven't really liked what I've seen out of Colorado over the last couple of weeks. I think they're vulnerable. I think Winnipeg is going to take it to them. I think they're going to take it in six.
And let's move over to the Pacific Division. The Vancouver Canucks, they won the division, and they'll be taking on the Nashville Predators. How does this one break down?
Yeah, on paper, it looks like pretty big mismatch. The Canucks were so dominant for most of the season. Although they did stumble a little bit late, they still have the best players in this series. Guys like Elias Pettersson, JT Miller cracking the 100-point mark, and of course, Quinn Hughes with his Norris Trophy
last
season.
Yeah, what a season. Yeah, that guy should win the Norris.
Yeah, for sure. Brock Besser also had a great year. So I think in star power offensively, you got to give the edge to Vancouver for sure.
But how about the Nashville Predators?
Well, it all begins with the fabulous Philip Forsberg and his exquisite mustache. He potted 48 goals, finally staying healthy this year and showing why he is their most dominant offensive force.
Yeah, I love Philip Forsberg, but let's not forget Roman Josi as well. What a year for him, too. 84 points from the back end. He really drives that ship.
Amazing. Gustav Nyquist finished with 75 points. Can you believe it?
That's a very quiet 75-point season.
And Andrew Burnett, this was his first year as coach. We have Barry Trotz as the general manager now. And they got a lot of Ryan O'Reilly. He proved to everybody he wasn't finished. He finished the year with 69 points.
Yeah. And we know that this is now his best time of the year. He's such a playoff warrior. So yeah, great guy to have in your lineup.
And how about some of the forward depth on Vancouver?
Well, two guys come to mind. We've got Dakota Joshua, who's an absolute physical force out there. I think he could be an X factor when things get rough and tumble. Great guy to have. On the flip side, we got a little guy with great hands, Connor Garland. I just wonder how effective he can be when the high traffic, gritty hockey starts. Is he going to get into scoring areas and make a difference?
Yeah, I'm really curious to see what Elias Lindholm can bring in this playoff series. He didn't really seem to fit in with the team down the stretch there, but I think he's got a really great tailor-made game for the playoffs, and let's see what he can contribute here.
And how about the defense of both of these teams?
Yeah, we did spend some time in previous shows talking about how Vancouver had rebuilt their decor, you know, bringing in guys like Carson Soucy, Zadorov was brought in this season. Myers has been playing better, a guy that's been with them, kind of living up to that contract a little bit more. But I think the big one was Hronek, adding him. He's been so good as the number two defenseman behind Hughes.
Yeah, for Nashville, not as much depth as they used to have. Of course, Ryan McDonagh, Stanley Cup champion. He's a great presence back there, but it's not what it used to be. It kind of gets a lot thinner after that.
But I like the hammers they have back there. They have Jeremy Lauzon, who broke the record for most hits in a season. And of course, Luke Shen is another guy who's a tough customer, not afraid to get dirty. These guys are extra valuable in the playoffs.
And I am super excited about this battle in net. Vancouver has Thatcher Demko, and the Nashville Predators have UC Saros.
I'm a big fan of Thatcher Demko. He was having a really strong season, but then he got hurt. Came back, played a few games at the end of the season, but I don't think he's back to his top form. And to have to find that form in the playoffs, I don't know. This is a bit of a dicey thing for the Canucks, I think.
Yeah, for Nashville, UC Saros didn't have his best regular season, but we do know he can elevate his play. He's a great goaltender. So if he can reach the level that he's capable of, I think you could give the advantage to Nashville if Demko can't find his game.
All right, boys, let's get our picks in. Mark, who are you going with?
You know, of all the favored teams in the playoffs, I think the Vancouver Canucks are the most vulnerable. Demko coming back from an injury, and just the whole team not really playing that well down the stretch. Elias Pettersson looked like he was a little bit off as well. I think the Canucks fall. Predators take it in seven.
And John?
This is a tough one to call. I was tempted to go with the upset as well, but I am going to pick the Vancouver Canucks. I don't think it's going to be easy for them. I think they're going to go seven games, but I think home ice is going to win it for them in the end.
The Vancouver Canucks have been such a fun story. I think along with the Winnipeg Jets were the biggest surprise teams of this year. I think Rick Tocchet is going to keep it going, and I select the Canucks in five.
Our final series out west is going to start in my hometown of Edmonton, Alberta, as the Oilers take on the Los Angeles Kings for the third season in a row.
Yeah, big rematch here. I think it all starts with the offense, and we know who has the clear advantage there. The Edmonton Oilers, of course, led by Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl. But, I mean, Zach Hyman with a big surprising year. How many goals did he end up with?
54 goals.
54 goals, wow. What a year.
Yeah, no doubt that they are terrifying on offense, but what about Connor McDavid, guys? He missed a bunch of games down the stretch. Any worry there?
Slight worry, for sure. We'll see how healthy he is. When he was playing, he was looking great. But yeah, it's always a concern when your star player is hurt.
And Leon Draisaitl, he had 100 points.
A very quiet 100 points, I felt. I don't know. I just felt like he had less of those shifts where he just takes over the game and controls the puck. I'm not saying he can't take it to another level. In fact, maybe he's been saving something for the playoffs. But we've seen him become their best player before in playoff runs. So watch out for Leon. He's hungry for a cup.
And the Oilers got a really nice season out of Evan Bouchard.
Absolutely, breaking the point per game barrier. So what does Los Angeles counter with offensively?
Well, a little bit of a changing of the guard. They're usually led in scoring by Anze Kopitar, but this year it was Kevin Fiala followed by Adrian Kempe, who had some nice seasons.
Oh, I love watching Adrian Kempe. He's such a beautiful skater. When he gets ahead of steam, watch out. He's really tough to stop. But, you know, the one guy that they've wanted so much more from, he was supposed to start taking over as their top line center, Pierre-Luc Dubois.
Tough year.
Yeah.
40 points. That's all he could manage after 63, a career high last season. Just looks like he didn't fit in. They did get him, though, for the rough and tumble playoffs. He's a big body. We've seen it before from him in the playoffs back in his Columbus days, so maybe he finally pays off for them.
And I'm a big fan of Thousand Oaks, California resident Trevor Moore, who got 30 goals this year.
Yeah, goals galore, Trevor Moore.
Yeah, and a decent season as well from Quinton Byfield. He's another big body. He was a little slow down the stretch, so hopefully he can pick up his game here for the playoffs.
For me, the X factor, we haven't mentioned Phil Deneau. I think he's one of the guys that anchors that second best penalty kill unit. He's going to be a thorn in the side of Draisaitl and McDavid. I think he's going to make a difference in this series and make it a lot harder than the Oilers.
Yeah, the Oilers, who had such an amazing power play the last two seasons, but this year they finished fourth.
Well, fourth is still pretty good, Jeff.
Yeah, and I mean, they did pick it up over the second half of the season too, so watch out for that.
Yeah, you know, we talked a little bit about the LA Kings' depth at forward. What about the Oilers? What have they done to address an area that's been questionable in the past?
Well, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins had 100 points last year. He had a bit of a drop, but he's such a smart player.
Yeah, he's a nice guy to have there. They also have Warren Fogle, who had a pretty serviceable year himself.
Yeah, 19 goals for him.
Yeah, and Ryan McLeod is another nice piece. I could see him getting a big goal in these playoffs.
And how about Corey Perry?
Yeah, Corey Perry, you know he's going to score at least one big goal for the Oilers in the playoffs. I also liked adding Adam Henrique at the deadline, another veteran who might be able to pitch in a few different areas.
And Evander Kane?
Evander Kane is a big question mark. Like, he's a good guy to have playing the way he plays in the playoffs, but a pretty slow year for him, so they're really hoping for him to elevate his play.
Yeah, I just don't think his hands have been the same since that catastrophic injury last year. I don't know. I still think he can play a physical game, though, and mix things up for the Oilers. Maybe just not the sniper he used to be.
And how about the decor on these teams?
You got to love Drew Doughty back there. He can make life miserable for opposing forwards. He is a year older, though, and this is going to be a tough series. How much really elite hockey does he have left? It's a little bit of a question.
Yeah, the guy I really like, because they got him at the deadline last year, Denis Gavrikov. They re-signed him long-term. He's an excellent defenseman. A little underrated, I think. Maybe at some point we also see some contributions from guys like Jordan Spence. He's one of the young defensemen. He got some time on the power play. Talented guy.
So aside from Evan Bouchard and the Bouchbaum, who else do the Oilers have?
Well, we cannot forget about Matthias Ekholm. He has just fit in so well for the Oilers with his amazing two-way play.
Yeah, no doubt he's been excellent, but beyond those two top guys, I just see a lot of bottom pairing type defenders. This is the one area I thought they would address at the deadline. They didn't, and I think it's one of their biggest weaknesses. I don't know if a guy like Cody Ceci or Brett Kulak can handle top 4 minutes against big, strong teams.
No, I mean, Darnell Nurse is a big minute muncher there, but yeah, it does get pretty thin after that for sure.
And there's lots of questions in net, guys. Who would you say has the edge here?
Ooh, this is a tough one to call. On Edmonton's side, Stuart Skinner definitely has a lot of talent. They're hoping he's going to become a franchise goaltender. Stumbled last year in the playoffs, stumbled again out of the gates this year. A lot better in the second half, but still lots of question marks in the Edmonton Oilers crease.
Some questions for LA as well. They ran with a tandem of Cam Talbot and David Rittich. What do you think of these guys, Jeff?
These guys surprised me with their numbers. I mean, Talbot finished with a 247 GA and a 915 save percentage, and Big Save Dave was even better.
Yeah, but I think these guys look good because of the team around them. I don't see them as being difference makers in net, and unfortunately for LA, this is not an area they have an advantage in, and they're already at a deficit in forward, so I just don't see where there's a big LA advantage.
Fair point.
Okay, guys, let's get our picks in here.
I mean, this is a pretty easy one for me. I picked the Oilers to win the Cup. Got to stick with them. I think they take the Kings in six.
Yeah, like last year as well, I think Edmonton is just too good for them. Oilers in six.
And I'm choosing the Oilers as well in five games.
That concludes our preview of the Western Conference playoffs. Coming up next, it's the mailbag.
Whoa, hang on a second here.
What?
You're forgetting something very important.
Oh,
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm so excited. This is Mark's film.
Yeah. HBO, Herbert Bernard Owens has followed us around, done a day in the life of John, day in the life of Jeff. And we get a chance now to hear a day in the life of Mark.
Do we really need to, though?
What do you mean?
Is it really necessary?
Yeah.
You seem a little apprehensive. No, I can't wait.
Well, it wasn't the best day in my life. I don't know if I want to relive it. Well, fine.
I'm excited, man. Let's listen to this.
All right. Yeah, sure.
It's 8 a.m. on a Sunday morning, and Mark Cecnita's living room is alive with activity. Multiple screens, a whiteboard with betting odds, and a very nervous man watching it like an eager bird of prey. Mark, tell us what's going on.
Welcome to my betting lair. This is just a pretty typical Sunday morning for me, so I got a double screen setup going right now. I got the Red Wings and the Leafs game on over there. Part of a big parlay bet I've made. Actually, that game has gone exactly according to plan so far. So Austin Matthews has scored a goal. Check. David Perron has a point. Check. And Samsonov has already let in more than 3 goals. So things are looking great over there. So right now I'm focused on the other screen here. I've got the Habs and the Senators playing. And if things go my way in this other game, I only got a couple more things left on my parlay list, I'm going to walk away with a huge payday. Oh, watch Caulfield in front. He's wide open. Oh, jeez. Come on.
I was confused, as Cole Caulfield is his favorite player. He even had his jersey on the wall.
The first Caulfield goal was good. That was one of my parlay bets. But now I don't want any more goals scored. If they get to 6.5 or more, that's it. I'm done. I'm toast. And now, well, it's 3-2. Basically, Ottawa scores again. We're going to go to overtime, and it's going to be a goal. I can't win that way. So I need this to be locked down now, and there's still a lot of time left on the clock.
I asked him to explain parlay bets.
Okay, let me explain this for the layman. Parlay bets, basically you can bet on anything, on somebody scoring a point, somebody getting a certain number of shots on net. It could be how many saves a goalie has, how many shots between two teams, how many goals in the game, really anything. There, you can put anything into a parlay these days. And like I said, I've got pretty much everything on my list, but now I'm pretty nervous because this game is looking like it's going to be back and forth chances for the rest of the way, and I need it to stay under 6.5, so I don't know. At the same time, I guess I've come this far. Maybe I can still pull it out.
He didn't. Next stop was the poker room.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chaknita. The low stakes tournament again?
You know what? No, I'm feeling lucky today. I want to try out the $10,000 tournament. I think this is my day to shine.
Very good then. Best of luck.
Let's do it.
Outside, during a break in the game, I asked him how he was doing.
Oh, this is going really, really well. I think I've probably got one of the biggest stacks right now. I've made some huge laydowns. I've made a couple big bluffs too, actually. So we're about 3 hours into the tournament now. I'm feeling a little worn down. I think I'm going to go get a rice triangle, maybe a Red Bull for some energy here. And yeah, I think if I stick with the game I'm playing today, I don't think anybody at that table can stop me.
Back inside, he was testing his luck.
Okay, sir. I'm all in. You gotta be freaking kidding me. Every single time I go all in with aces, I get cracked on the river. This is just sick. Play a perfect game all day and this happens.
He decided to try again.
Hey there, I want to buy back in. There's still time, right?
Sure, no problem. Good luck.
And again.
Okay, one more time. Let me get one more buy-in.
Again? Are you sure?
Yes, I'm sure. Don't worry, I know what I'm doing.
He didn't, but he wasn't done yet.
Okay, the gambling gods are clearly telling me this is not a poker day. There is a roulette table, though. I guess that's their last option. Not my game, but I'm due, right? Okay, let's go big bet here. Enough of this small stuff. Let's get this going.
Black 13.
Ooh, oh, that was close. Okay, let's do another one. You know what? Let's double this one up. Let's go even bigger. This is going to be the one. Give it to me.
Red 32.
Oh, my God. Okay, fine. Let's one more time. Come on, let's get this going. Let's go.
Red 20.
Oh, This is sick. This is just absolutely ridiculous. Okay, you know what? Double zero. Let's put the rest on double zero. It's been a double zero day. Here we go.
Black 21.
Oh, God. Okay, I'm out of chips. Oh, wait. Hang on. I got a watch here. Rolex watch. Come on, who wants to get a deal? 5,000 bucks. This is a brand new watch. I've worn it for like 2 days. Anybody want to buy it? Anyone?
Sir, that's a Bolex. I'm afraid I'm going to have to ask you to leave.
Whoa, hang on. Come on, there's got to be something we can work out here. I'm a valued guest. You guys know I'm good for it. Let's figure something out here. This is supposed to be my day. I'm not leaving without a win.
But he did.
Okay, one more stop. The sun is coming up. The lottery store is about to open. I got a plan. One more long shot bet. If this goes through, the money will be back in the account before the guys even notice. I got a funny feeling the Wings are going to get that last playoff spot, and look at those odds. Those are pretty juicy. Let's take a big bite out of this one. Money's coming right back to that account.
Okay, Mark.
Oh, my
seriously?
God.
Seriously? You put it all on Detroit?
Yeah, well.
All on Detroit?
Hang on. Well, in my defense, we did a show, what, like a month ago. We all agreed Detroit was going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, but okay. Which account is this you're talking about?
Well, it's the one where we put all of our winnings into. The joint account.
The lottery account.
Yeah.
So all of our lottery winnings are gone?
Well, you guys still have some money left over though, right?
Yeah, Jeff, what do you got?
Well, guys, I'm sorry to say I have nothing. Guy Zamboni was helping me manage my account, and it's empty.
I don't know why you trusted that guy in the first place.
Yeah, what were you doing? All gone.
Well, what about you, John?
Yeah, John, what about those crystals that you bought? We could still flip some of those for some money, right?
Yeah, bad news about the crystals, guys. I took them in to get authenticated, and they're not real.
Why didn't you do that before you bought them?
I trusted the guy from Hong Kong. He seemed like a legit guy.
Holy man.
It all seemed legit. So, yeah, that is...
So we're broke. We're broke. We're right back where we started from.
This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
What's going to happen with the show?
I don't know, man. I mean, maybe I could sell the board, the new board here. I don't know. I just can't believe it's all gone.
Well, it's not all gone. I still got these little mini shots that I got when I flew first class to Istanbul last month.
Okay.
It's not all gone.
Give me one of those.
There you go, buddy.
Do a shot.
You know what? We've done it once. We can do it again. We're going to bounce back. Let's focus on the positive. Let's look forward. Let's not look back in anger.
Well, I guess we don't have much of a choice. Bottoms up, boys.
Yeah, here we go. Still got a mailbag we got to dig into as well, right?
That's true. Oh, okay. Let's do it.
Sorry. What was the question? I would totally veto that. What kind of league are we running here anyways? I'll have to consult the rule book on that one. Remember the trade guidelines. Can we get some friendly questions here? You guys have got to dress your players.
Okay, boys. Well, this is Ask the Commish, everybody's favorite segment. You can get your questions in last minute at rodlangwayfanclub@gmail.com or X us, tweet us, whatever, at rodlangwayfanclub.
We actually received a physical piece of mail today.
Cool.
Nice. From Kay Malone.
Oh, the mailman.
Maybe the mailman.
Okay.
It was delivered by a mailman anyway.
Okay.
All right. What does he say?
Just asks, what do you guys think about the Arizona franchise moving to Salt Lake City?
Wow, they finally moved. This is like been watching a car accident in slow motion. But I'm very excited for the fans in Utah. Obviously, very disappointed for the fans in Arizona.
Yeah, it was a situation that just wasn't working. They waited and waited and failed on this deal and failed on that deal. And it was time to move on. You can't play in a 5,000-seat arena in the National Hockey League. It was embarrassing.
It was embarrassing. I did think it was kind of cool. Mullet Arena, I'll be sad to see that go. It must have been a great place to see a game. Unfortunately, we never had the chance. Utah as a destination, I can't say I'm super thrilled about it. I mean, obviously, I would prefer Quebec City or Canadian market, but, it had to happen, I guess.
Yeah, they're going to be playing in Salt Lake City, Utah, in the same arena that the Utah Jazz play out of. Now, it's not built for hockey, but apparently they are going to be making some changes.
Yeah, it is a state-of-the-art building, though. I'm sure it will be more than sufficient, given what the players had to deal with last year in Arizona. I think they'll be happy to move along. Will also be cool to see this franchise finally spend a little money and try to be competitive as well.
Yeah, I mean, led by Captain Canada, Ryan Smith. What a guy to head it up.
I don't think that's the owner, John.
It's a different Ryan Smith, John.
It's a different guy.
Oh, is it? Okay. Well, either way.
I'm really curious to see what they name them. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I've heard Yeti, maybe. I'm not really sure.
The Blizzards was a bit weird. I don't know. I didn't really like that one. We'll see, though.
I don't mind the Grizzlies. They have an ECHL team that goes under that name.
Now, it should be also noted that the door has not been totally closed on the Arizona market. Phoenix, of course, being such a massive TV market. They do want to get back in there, so they've given a chance to find some land, build an arena, and maybe the expansion opportunity to get a team back there again.
Yeah, let's not forget that a young Austin Matthews went to a Coyotes game and was inspired to pick up hockey, so it's a big market.
Yeah, it wasn't all bad in Arizona.
Yeah, so next we have a tweet from Holly Jolly, and Holly wonders, what is the Rod Langway Fan Club podcast's preferred destination for young Macklin Celebrini?
Thank you for the question. Yeah, Celebrini had an excellent freshman year. He picked up the Hobie Baker Award. I'm very excited about him coming into the NHL. I would love to see him go to San Jose. Sure. The Sharks need a lot of help in that market. They need some star power. I would love to see him wearing the teal.
Yeah, pretty toothless offense there in San Jose. He would fit in nicely, but there is another franchise that desperately needs star power. They haven't had it for so long. I'm talking, of course, about my Montreal Canadiens.
Montreal, I knew you were going to say that.
Well, you know, when was the last time they had like a top end number
Slavkovsky, one? He had a good year.
Yeah, Slavkovsky, Suzuki, these are great players, but they're not generational talents. Maybe Macklin Celebrini isn't either, but he definitely has a chance to be a superstar. I'd love to see him in Montreal. I would call the rebuild over at that point, and then it would be time to go into winning mode.
And John, what about you?
Well, I'm really looking forward to seeing Macklin Celebrini in the World Championships. He's going to be playing alongside Connor Bedard. It would be nice if they had a really good tournament, maybe even won gold. So wouldn't it be fun if Chicago gets first overall pick? We get Macklin Celebrini, Connor Bedard.
That would be really cool. Hey, it was a really good rookie season for Connor Bedard.
Yeah, people had really high expectations for him. Maybe he came a little bit under those, but still 61 points in 68 games. Pretty good for a first-year player.
Yeah, very unfortunate that he had the broken jaw.
Yeah, jaw-dropping talent, unfortunately. The jaw did not hold up all season long. But, you know, a lot of the great players, McDavid, got hurt in his first year as well. I think Bedard could challenge 100 points as soon as next season.
Any love for the Columbus Blue Jackets?
Yeah, that could be fun. They need some offense for sure.
I don't know. They got Fantilli. They got Kent Johnson. They've already got some good young forwards there. Kind of a boring landing spot as far as I'm concerned.
He might fit in well with the Anaheim Ducks.
Are you kidding me? That team has already compiled guys like Leo Carlson, Mason McTavish, Trevor Zegras. They have an embarrassment of riches at forward already. Not to mention they added Cutter Gauthier. He made his NHL debut. I don't think they need another high-end forward.
Well, I am really looking forward to the draft lottery.
One more left, guys. Got a direct message here on Facebook from Leisure Suit Larry. He asks, anyone want to change the Stanley Cup pick?
Jeffy.
Let's start with Jeff, because yeah, it's pretty much you have to.
Yeah, you have to. I mean, it's second year in a row, your Stanley Cup pick has not made the playoffs.
Yeah, what a shock that the New Jersey Devils missed out. Obviously, yeah. A lot of bad luck. The Jeff Rollman kiss of death continues to destroy franchises.
So. Whoa. Don't say that. Edit that part out, man. It makes me look bad.
Okay, I'll cut it.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, I am going to be going with the Dallas Stars, guys. I think this is their year. Mark, you went with the Edmonton Oilers. Are you going to change that?
Oh, no. I will be sticking with the Edmonton Oilers. They made the playoffs. I've got money riding on them. So Oilers a bust for me this year.
Money? Where's your money coming from?
Well, that's a bet I made previously. Don't worry about that. In fact, if that money, maybe I'll buy you guys a nice dinner or something if that comes through.
Okay.
And John, you went with the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah. I mean, I can't say I'm hugely optimistic after watching game one against the Bruins there, but I think the Leafs can turn it around. I'm going to stick with them. Leafs for the cup.
Okay, and you were under the effect of tranquilizers.
I was, gorilla tranquilizers. So, you know, if it doesn't go my way, I got an excuse at least.
Well, that's it. The picks are in. The playoffs are underway. Let's just sit back and enjoy what is going to be an excellent NHL playoff season.
Yeah, guys, and I want to thank both of you. I want to thank you, Mark Cecchinita, for all of your great quips this year. We call you Big Pun for a reason.
Yeah.
And also John Snowden, who the show would not happen without.
Thank you. And Commissioner Jeff Rollman, of course, deserves a big thank you as well.
And thanks to all you loyal listeners out there. I hope you guys enjoy the NHL playoffs, and I hope you had yourselves a time.
Well, I hope you had yourselves a time. Hope you had yourselves a time. Hope you had yourselves a time. Well, I hope you had yourselves a time. Hope you had.